90.5 WKHS, you're now listening to Fan Cam with Peter and Andrew, where you get to hear two friends talk about sports from a fan's perspective.
Week by week, we will be discussing score predictions, breaking sports news, your very own Trojan sports, and your favorite big-time teams.
Join us every Thursday to hear us learn more about sports and give our spin on a modern-day sports talk show, right here on 90.5 WKHS. Welcome back, everybody, to Fan Cam Sports Talk Show, where two friends give their opinion on sports. I am Peter, joined by my co-host, Andrew.
How's it going?
It's going good. We are finally back due to some unfortunate injuries for me and illnesses for Andrew. We missed We missed the whole March Madness, which is probably our least favorite thing that we could have missed, but we are back now, so we'll be able to recap everything, go over the champion. We'll also probably highlight the women's national champion. But until we get into that, Andrew, can you take a look at our Trojan sports? Because we are now finally in the full swing of spring sports.
Yes. So on Monday, girls lacrosse traveled to Bow Manor. And also on Monday, baseball and softball's home games against Pocomoke was postponed due to inclement weather. On Tuesday, tennis traveled to North Dorchester, baseball and softball went to Easton, and unified bocce ball went to Queen Anne's. On Wednesday, girls lacrosse traveled to Stephen Decatur, and also on Wednesday, tennis hosted Easton at home. Thursday, track and field travels to Kent Island, and also today, baseball and softball host Cambridge. And tomorrow, boys lacrosse is away at North Dorchester, tennis is at Cambridge, baseball and softball are also at Cambridge. And to round out all the spring sports this week, girls lacrosse host North Dorchester on Friday.
Thank you, Andrew. So good luck to all those sports teams. They will do great this week. I have a feeling it'll be a winning week for Kent County. But we are now going to get right into it. March Madness, or recap of everything that happened, because we missed way too much. I'm going to start off with the South. Andrew will go to the East. Then we'll go to the North and the West brackets to round it off. So starting off, we had Auburn playing Alabama State. Me and Andrew both said this is going to be an easy game. Auburn won 83-63. We had Louisville playing Creighton. Creighton was able to take this one dominantly, 89-75 win. Michigan barely held on against UC San Diego, one of the games that we predicted an upset for. Michigan did get the win, 68-65. Texas A&M was able to beat Yale. Ole Miss was able to beat North Carolina. Iowa State was able to beat Lipscomb easily by almost 30 points. The only upset in this whole bracket, or in this division, New Mexico beat Marquette by 11 points. Michigan State beat Bryant by 25 points. So that was the first round in the South region. And then taking a look at the second round, similar to what we expected, Auburn beat Creighton by 12 points. Michigan beat Texas A&M by a staggering 12 points. So from almost getting upset by a 12 seed to being able to beat a 4 seed by 12 points is pretty surprising. Ole Miss was able to get the upset over Iowa State, beating them 91-78. Michigan State beat New Mexico to round off the second round. Now we take a look at the Sweet 16 of the South bracket. Auburn beat Michigan, and Michigan State beat Ole Miss. So we have the 1 and the 2 seed in the Elite Eight, and what was one of the better games of March Madness to watch. Auburn was able to take down Michigan State 70-64 to punch their ticket to the Final Four. Andrew, can you take a look at the East bracket for us?
Yes. So in the East, the number one seed Duke faced off against Mount St. Mary's in the first round, and this was a pretty easy matchup for them. They got a 93-49 victory. Then moving on to the 8-9 game, Baylor outlasted Mississippi State. The final score of that one was 75-72. Then in the 5-12 matchup between Oregon and Liberty, Oregon was dominating this game, the better team. A lot of people thought this might be an upset, but they were definitely the better team in this matchup as they advance to the second round. Arizona and Akron Also, an upset that I thought might happen, but Arizona was able to outlast Akron and got a very dominant victory. Then BYU and VCU, another upset that a lot of people thought would happen, but BYU surprised a lot of people. We'll get into you about the run they made in a second, but BYU won that one 80-71. Then Wisconsin dominated Montana in the 3-14 game. Mount St. Mary's beat Vanderbilt 59-56. And to round out the first round in the East region, Alabama beat Robert Morris 90-81. Now moving into the second round here in the East region, Duke got a dominant victory over Baylor to advance to the Sweet 16. Arizona had a very good game against Oregon. Oregon punched them in the mouth early in this game, but Arizona stuck with it and was able to get a nice victory over Oregon to advance to the Sweet 16. BYU upset Wisconsin in the second round and advanced to the Sweet 16. And then Alabama outlasted St. Mary's to advance to the Sweet 16. Now looking at the Sweet 16 between Duke and Arizona, this was a very high-scoring affair, but Duke was able to get the win 100-93. And then the other Sweet 16 matchup, Alabama scored 113 points. I believe they made 25 threes in this game, a tournament record. So the offense was clicking for Alabama in this game. And then lastly, in the Elite Eight between Duke and Alabama, Duke was able to handle Alabama's offense and advance to the Final Four.
Thank you, Andrew. And now taking a look at the West region, probably my favorite region to watch in the whole tournament besides Duke, but I'll go on a rant about Duke later. Florida beat Norfolk State by almost 30 points, 95-69. UConn beat Oklahoma 67-59. Memphis got upset by Colorado State, losing 78-70. Colorado State moved on to the second round. Maryland was able to get a dominant win over Grand Canyon, 81-49. Drake also was able to upset Missouri, which a lot of people saw this upset coming, 67-59. And Drake's coach actually went to another school, so we can probably see a lot of those players following him. Texas Tech beat UNC Wilmington, 82-72. Kansas got upset by Arkansas, 79-72. And to round off the first round, St. John's beat Omaha 83-53. And then taking a look at the second round, an almost upset for one of our Final Four teams. Florida beat UConn by 2 points. It was a nail biter all the way to the end, but Florida was able to grab the win. Another nail biter. Maryland was able to beat Colorado State on a buzzer beater by Derek Queen. So they were finally able to get on the good side of a buzzer beater from, what was it, 5 or 4 previous losses to buzzer beaters, Andrew?
Yeah, it was a lot. So it was finally our time to be on the right side of a buzzer beater.
Yeah, definitely. And then we had Texas Tech beating Drake 77-64. And then the upset of the day, St. John's lost to Arkansas 75-66. And I know me and Andrew both were not happy to see that game because that ruined both of our brackets and also lost us our bracket challenge. So if you're listening, St. John's, we are not happy. And then taking a look at the Sweet 16, we had Florida playing Maryland. A lot of people hoping Maryland would win, go on a late run, but sadly their run ended in the Sweet 16 as Florida was able to win 87-71. And then another nail biter, a 10 seed Arkansas almost made it to the Elite Eight to play Florida, but they lost by 2 points to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech went on to play Florida in the Elite Eight, and then Florida able to win by 5 points, beating Texas Tech, and they punched their ticket to the Final Four. Now, Andrew, can you take a look at the Midwest, our final region of the bracket?
Yes, so Houston, the number one seed in the Midwest, was able to handle the 16 seed SIU Edwardsville. The final score of that one was 78-40. Then in the 8-9 matchup, Gonzaga dominated Georgia. a game that people thought would be close but was not. The final score of that one was 89-68. Then probably the only real big upset in the first round was McNeese beat Clemson. The final score of that one was 69-67. I predicted this upset earlier, so I was happy that this was right. But this was probably only the real big upset we saw this tournament. Now moving on to Purdue and High Point. Purdue was able to get a 75-63 win to advance. Illinois beat Xavier 86-73. Kentucky defeated Troy 76-57. UCLA defeated Utah State 72-47. And Tennessee dominated Wofford 77-62. Now moving on to the second round, Houston outlasted Gonzaga in a close one. 81-76 was the final of that one. Purdue ended McNeese's magical run, and the final of that one was 76-62. Kentucky dominated Illinois. The final score to that game was 84-75. And lastly, Tennessee dominated UCLA. The final score was 67-58. Now moving on to the Sweet 16 between Houston and Purdue. This one came down to the final second. Houston was able to get lucky on an inbounds play where Purdue's defense wasn't paying attention to the inbounder and get what would have been the game-winning bucket. The final score of that was 62-60, a very close game. Then the other Sweet 16 matchup between Tennessee and Kentucky was not as close of a game, as Tennessee was able to win in dominant fashion 78-65. And then lastly, in the Elite Eight, Houston was able to dominate Tennessee. They held them to 15 points in the first half, and the final score of that one was 69-50, and Houston advances to the Final Four.
Thank you, Andrew. And now I'll take a look at the Duke-Houston Final Four game, and we'll have you take a look at that Florida-Auburn Final Four game. But one thing that I wanted to note is all of our Final Four teams are all one seeds. So very surprising, as almost 2 years ago we had a 8 seed, a 4 seed, and like a 6 seed all make it to the Final Four. So not your typical one seeds. This hasn't happened since 2008. But I think this was one of the tournaments where you could see the lower level teams winning, but the experience is what helped these higher teams take the win. So it wasn't like these one seeds were just going through dominating, winning by 40. They had these like tough matchups against 8 seeds and 4 seeds that they had to battle through, but they were able to do so. And taking a look at the Duke-Houston game, two teams that have very different play styles. Duke is a overall like good offense, good defense team, but Houston is the scrappiest, most hustling team in the whole tournament. They'll dive for loose balls. If you've seen any clips of their practice, they practice diving for loose balls not once but twice. So they always try and make those second effort plays, and that's definitely what helped this Houston team in the second half, as they were able to beat Duke 70-67, holding Duke to only make one field goal in the last 10 minutes. And Houston, with down 6 with a minute left, was able to put up 11 points within that last minute. So they were able to take this one 70-67, a very tough watch as a Duke fan for me. But seeing how Houston played can definitely influence some other teams to play that defensive style, as well as a fast-paced offense like a Duke or an Alabama. But can you take a look at the other Final Four game for us, Andrew?
Yes, so the other Final Four was between Florida and Houston, or I mean Auburn, sorry. And this game was very back and forth. Both teams battling it out. They know each other. They're both in the same conference, the SEC. And Auburn came out ready to play. They were outplaying Florida, and they just came ready to play. And Florida kind of just sat there and let Auburn do what they wanted. But I saw something that a media person put out, that they walked by Florida's locker room at halftime, and they weren't trying to eavesdrop or anything. They were just walking by to go to their suite, and they could hear yelling from head coach Todd Golden, and he didn't know that he was capable of all of this yelling, and obviously it motivated his team because Florida came out in the second half with a lot of energy, and they outlasted Auburn, and Walter Clayton down the stretch really was what did it for Florida. He had a career-high 34 points, and Florida was able to get the 79-73 win over Auburn.
Yeah, and then that let Florida play Houston in the national championship, and in a game that I thought Houston would win easily because of how scrappy Houston's defense is and Florida not being a super high-paced offense team, I figured Houston would be able to shut them down. And it looked like that going into the second half. Houston was up, I think, 10 points going into the second half. They looked like they were going to run away with it. And once again, Florida came out. Second half, seems like they're one of those second half teams that are able to really click. They were able to take the win, and they won the national championship 65-63. So congrats to Florida on that win. And then also on the women's side, UConn was finally able to get a national championship with Paige Beckers. They were able to stop South Carolina in dominant fashion, too. South Carolina winning the past two national championships for the women, but they weren't able to get that third as UConn won it. But that will round out our show. Thank you, everybody, for listening this week. If you want to keep up with the news, go to FanCam_talkshow on Instagram. Or if you want to see any later episodes, go over to Spotify, Amazon, Apple, or where else you find your podcasts and look up FanCam. But until then, we'll see you guys next week.